Neighborhood Voice explores community issues through the lens of local residents. We spent time talking with entrepreneurs about their experiences running small businesses and how they've adapted during the pandemic. Now we're getting local perspectives on COVID-19, the vaccine, and barriers to accessing it. I'm your host, Erica Pfizer, and this week we're joined by Jennifer Malone from Northwest Indiana Community Action. Thank you for joining me, Jennifer.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Your organization, I mean, it's such a hub for all kinds of assistance. You do utilities and weatherization, housing vouchers, tax preparation, which is great for this season right now. Just tell me more about your services.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, we're a multi-purpose agency from prenatal moms. So we offer the Women, Infant, Children program. And so that's our nutrition education program, all the way through our Area Agency on Aging programs, which fund home and community-based services for those in need with the goal of keeping people safe and healthy in their home. So that's, again, a variety of services, from preventative health services to senior congregate nutrition services, home and community-based services with local home care agencies. We hire the care managers who do the assessments and authorize services for our senior population. Then when we look at our community action programs, those are our energy assistance programs, our weatherization, family development program. Also, we have financial service programs. So as you mentioned, the tax assistance, mm-hmm. The individual development account programs. And so we do offer a variety of services to a variety of ages, and income levels, and in a 7-county area.
So which 7 counties do you cover?
Sure. It varies based on programs, but the counties include Lake, Porter, Jasper, Newton, Stark, Pulaski, and LaPorte.
That's a large area of residents. Now, are you, I know you work in partnership with the state departments, like state departments of health.
Yes.
Now, can you talk to me about where your organization falls along like the government to nonprofit spectrum?
Sure. We are a private nonprofit organization. However, we are designated as the Area Agency on Aging. And so there is federal legislation, the Older Americans Act, that designates area agencies on aging in every state. There is also federal legislation that designates community action agencies. And we are also a community action agency. And so those programs go through here in the state of Indiana through either FSSA and the Division of Aging, or the Indiana Housing and Community Development Authority. And so that is how the funding comes down to the local agencies, and then we administer those to the communities.
Okay. And so what needs have you seen as a result of this pandemic? I would imagine that you all have such a kind of wide lens on the different needs that arise in the community. So have you seen them change through this last year?
Absolutely. And they're different now than they were a year ago. A year ago, we were really focusing on nutrition and medication delivery for our seniors. Our congregate nutrition sites were closing down face-to-face activities, and so we needed to transition our service delivery models to more home-delivered meals than we've ever provided before. Although that is a service we provide, you know, we had home-delivered and our congregate programs, and now that needed to transition. We had families contacting us who were impacted by COVID and had no resources to obtain food, and so our staff, you know, did what they needed to do, mm-hmm. And we would deliver food to families in need. We would address any deficiencies when individuals had medications that needed to be picked up and delivered to them. And I think, you know, looking back and how this last year has transitioned, now we are seeing people who've never needed our services before needing our services
because of job loss. Okay, because of job loss.
Yes, job loss or a reduction in income, mm-hmm. even if it isn't a total job loss. Individuals who have never struggled paying their utility bills are struggling to pay their utility bills or their rent. Even some things we don't always think about is the individuals in our community on fixed incomes. And so there are cost of goods and services, cleaning supplies, things like that, that have increased. And when you're on a fixed income, it creates a hardship. And so we have seen a diverse need across our community, and we just try to be as responsive as possible. And now, you know, we're really excited about our involvement with assisting individuals register for the vaccine.
Yeah, tell me about how your organization has been distributing information and helping people get registered for the vaccine.
Sure. We a lot of outreach through our social media. So Facebook at NWICA is one area. But also we have thousands of contacts with the senior population through our organization and the counties. And so the Division of Aging asked the area agencies across the state to be proactive and make outreach calls. Mm-hmm. So we had just over 6,000 contacts we've made already. We have a couple thousand more to make. But we started making calls initially to those 80-plus as those age cohorts were released over these last several weeks. We made those contacts and, if needed, helped individuals actually register for the vaccination. And so we were pleased. We made some calls and people were already registered. But about 30% of the people we contacted, we helped register them for the vaccine. And so we're really excited about that. Another focus we've been doing is assisting with homebound vaccine registration. We know sometimes there are barriers mm-hmm. to getting out into the community, either health or physical mobility issues, which prohibit individuals going to the clinic to get a vaccine. And certainly. So we have been able to register individuals into a Hoosier homebound portal that lets the local health entities know there are individuals needing a homebound vaccination. And what they're doing, and there's details are still being worked out. However, when they have available vaccine, they're working with local emergency management entities to then go to those individuals' homes and administer that vaccine in that home.
So if someone, I'm going to just walk through the process
sure.
here. You were to contact someone and they say, I'm having trouble accessing the vaccine. I want to get it, but I don't have a ride or I'm homebound. And then you would connect them to the Hoosier Homebound portal. And they would then register through that process, and then an appointment would be made to come out and get them vaccinated
in
the home?
Actually, the area agencies on aging are assessing if an individual meets the criteria for the homebound Hoosier portal. And if that is met, then we are actually entering demographic information in the portal that authorizes that vaccine to be distributed in the home.
Okay.
Then the local health officials have access to that same portal so they can see who is in that portal that needs a vaccination and then make those arrangements. And they will contact the individuals when a vaccine is available to be administered in their home.
And so the people that you're calling, I would imagine not all of them are interested in getting the vaccine. What are some of the common reasons you're hearing for why people may not want to get to the vaccine?
Sure. Actually, with the population we're talking to, one of the common things we've heard, two things. They're homebound status, Some individuals feel they are at less risk because they are more homebound. Then there are others who are their medical status is not stable, or they're at the end of life, and so they have declined. And in conversations with our colleagues around the state, that's been a couple of the common things we hear about our senior population declining. Mm-hmm. Certainly there have been concerns about the safety, and so we follow guidance provided by the State Department of Health and the CDC if we are asked questions, and advise our seniors to speak with their physicians or their family. And there are many. About 30% of our initial contacts ask us to call them back because they'd like to talk to their family or their physician first. Mm-hmm. And so we certainly understand that.
Yes, I think talking with your physician about your options is always your best route with your medical decisions. And so you've talked about some ways that your organization is distributing information and reducing some barriers to accessing the vaccine. And so I think people would be interested in how they could contact you and how would they get more information on that.
Absolutely. We can be contacted at 800-826-7871. Our website is nwi-ca.com.
And there used to be, I think, a 211 number. Now, that was associated with your organization. Is that still, or is that a number that people should still call?
Absolutely. 211 is a phenomenal service operated in conjunction with the Family and Social Service Administration now. And so, yes. Anybody in the public can contact 211 if they need assistance registering for the vaccine. Also, have any questions?
And so tax prep, as we mentioned, is another one that is pretty timely right now, although I think our tax deadline has been pushed out to May 17th.
Yes, it has.
I believe. So so they have a little bit of extra time on that. But what kind of assistance do you provide in that area?
Sure. We have a wonderful financial services team at our organization and a wonderful group of volunteers. And so they continue to operate the program this year. They are having individuals scheduled to drop off paperwork. Then our volunteers are completing the taxes, and then they schedule kind of a curbside pickup to pick up their completed taxes. And so we continue to offer that service and will through the new extended deadline.
And so part of the recovery plan, it has been the stimulus payments. And does your organization provide any information for how non-filers can access that, or other filing tax groups can access that if they think that they may be eligible?
We would just refer them to the IRS guidelines on how to access that.
Okay. So make sure that you check out your IRS guidelines on information for your stimulus payment. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for being on today. Is there any other information you'd like to share with listeners?
I think it's exciting that we continue to move forward with the vaccination project. If I may, we've also been assisting individuals 16 to 39 who are on home and community-based services register for the vaccine. They were a group that, you know, they have caregivers coming into their home, and mm-hmm. so their health conditions put them at a higher risk. And so in addition to helping our senior population, we have also been able to assist that population and getting tremendous results with that.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for joining us this week on Neighborhood Voice. You can visit OurShot219.com for information about local COVID-19 resources in Northwest Indiana. This show is made possible by Legacy Foundation, the Community Foundation for Lake County, Indiana.